to build your faith? Do you desire to have a true encounter with God through His Word? Then listen to Logos Rhema Hour with Reverend Dr. Joseph Baobin, Head Pastor of Harvest Chapel International, Kumasi. He is a seasoned man of God and a teacher of the Word in its truth and simplicity. Make time with us each and every Monday to Friday at 2 p.m. on Spirit 88.3 FM as we encounter the Word of Truth. God richly bless you. Welcome to Logos Rhema Hour with God's servant, Reverend Dr. Joseph Baobin, Head Pastor of Harvest Chapel International, Kumasi. And now, to today's message.
Let's take our confession, Joshua 1 verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but I shall meditate in it day and night, that I may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then I will make my way prosperous, and then I will have good success. Amen.
I think one of his prayer teachings was that parable about that sinner. Comparing him to the Pharisees, he said the man was beating his chest and say, God, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. I'm a bad boy. Have mercy on me. One day you wake up and you know that God has cleansed you. You won't boast that you are now a good boy, but you know that something has been disabled in your life. You don't feel like being bad again. You don't feel like being a bad girl. You don't feel like cheating. You don't feel like stealing. You don't feel like demonstrating the deeds of the flesh. That's the power of prayer. That's the power of prayer. Oh, God will take the stony heart out and He'll give you a heart of flesh. He knows us all. So going to God and saying, Papa, me, I'm a bad boy. He knows it already. That's humility. He said that was it. They said they left. When the two of them left the prayer chamber, the Pharisee who said, hey, God, you know me. Already I have some coins here that when I finish from here, I'll just go around and distribute it to people. And then the sinner was there. The sinner was saying, God, Papa, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me and deliver me. Deliver me from this drunkenness. Deliver me from the spirit of pornography. Deliver me from all the vices that keeps putting me down. And say, God heard the sinner's prayer. Hallelujah. So can't pray, don't know how to pray. We all need to just go through this cycle. Hallelujah. Of just getting to God and whatever words will come. But make sure that you frequent that place of prayer. You go again and again and again. And then one day you rise up. La, 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 la. I still remember when I experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the evidence of speaking tongues. I was on my knees on the Unity Hall. I was on the rooftop at dawn. I was praying. They said, I knew you must pray. So I woke up. I went there to pray. And I was there praying and I was worshiping God. I was singing praises. They said, do it. You just do it. And then all after, I found myself on my knees. And then before I realized that, I was just speaking and praying in tongues. I said, and then something said, shut up. This one is for mature Christians and not you. Hallelujah. I said, hey, I didn't know. I didn't expect it. But all of a sudden, I just got God. I just felt it. You need to speak some of the tongues. La 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 la. Ah, renini ni mo sende ka baya. Then you know that the Holy Spirit has come. So He will teach you how to pray. As you do it, as you practice it, as you practice it, then from 5 minutes, you go to 10 minutes. 10 minutes, now you go to 1 minute. 1 minute, we'll get there. So 10 minutes, 1 hour, then 2 hours. Then all night, God, I'm here to help me. Teach me how to pray. Hallelujah. So best way to learn about the mysterious act of prayer is to get on your knees in humility and pray. You can't pray, you don't know how to pray. And indeed, all of us, we all start from there. Hallelujah. But once we get into the awesome presence of God who has consented to be our dad, he says the Holy Spirit, whom he gives to us as a seal of ownership. When we come there, we don't know what to pray and what to pray. He said, through signs and groanings, the burdens upon our heart. Papa, papa, the children, their future, their security, my God, their growth, their feeding, their health, God, that's it. That's how we pray. You just go there and God will help you discharge the burden on your heart. So sometimes we get there, we all tend to stutter, we stammer. Rema shaking de kapa. But the Holy Spirit, he says that through flawless angelic language, intercedes on our behalf. And when we rise up from the place of prayer, we know undoubtedly that we have been heard. That God has granted us success. Sorry, has granted us, yes, an audience and success in the prayer. Hallelujah. So that's verse 1. Verse 2. Let's do verse 2. Until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. Hallelujah. Amen. So we realize here from this verse that until his ascension, and it's also going to give us a clue that I think we've been talking in passing, but as I said, it's a teaching, I'm just taking my time. That until his ascension, or till he left our world, we see one of the pictures that Luke is painting here for us. We see how he cherished and fostered a relationship or partnership and fellowship with the Holy Spirit of God. No doubt Peter said that, that extraordinary life that he lived, it can only be painted. A line can be drawn from him and his fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Because it's the Holy Spirit that brings the unction, the anointing upon your life. The anointing brings enablement, power to do. That is what he said. You will receive power. When we get to verse 8, he said, you will receive power, ability to do when the Holy Ghost comes. Hallelujah. Amen. So Luke mentions here that until the day that he left the Holy Spirit, as we have said, he had already in the book of Luke painted that portrait, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was it. The Holy Spirit. He was baptized, and he says when he came out, the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. And then boom, bah, Remo shaking. The Bible says that he started praying. Right after he came out under the water, after his baptism by his cousin, John the Baptist, here was he. Malamu shaking de. Ra la 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 haba. And then he makes sure he tells us, he says, and the Holy Spirit drove him from that place. He didn't go back to Nazareth, though. He didn't go back to Nazareth after the baptism. He didn't go home. Immediately, the Bible says the Holy Spirit drove him to the wilderness, where for 40 days, 40 nights, he waited on God in fasting and in praying. Half day fast, are you doing it? Those of us who are doing it, he's helping us. The whole thing is obedience, so he's helping us so we can pray. Ah, rebo shekende, ah, lay me hand in inimikata. Rama shekende. So for 40 days. So where do we think that fasting is a done deal? It's no longer relevant. It helps. Like we say, like saying it adds a cutting edge to our cries and intercessions. And if there are barriers to penetrate through the brass gates of our lives, that's fasting, what it does. Like one man of God says, it just tells the heavens that no, no, no. Our cry is not to the heavens. No, it is to God. And everything must give way so that God can hear us, because we know that when God hears us, like the Apostle John says, it's equivalent to answer prayer. When you pray and God hears you, when you rise up, even if the thing has not been done, the certain burden lift from you. You are at peace, you are at rest. He has heard me. He will do what seems best in his eyes and for my life. The Holy Spirit, he is key, not just to our prayer lives, but our entire Christian lives. And Jesus shows you the indispensability of the Holy Spirit in our lives. If only we can live for God and fulfill our life's assignments. Right before ascension, the Bible says, through the Holy Spirit. So we see the partnership had been there all through his life and ministry. His death, the Bible says that it is the Holy Ghost who entered into the grave and rose him up and raised him up from the dead. Apostle Paul will argue too. It is the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that is resident in your life and in my life. He said that same Holy Spirit is able to quicken our mortal bodies. Quicken our mortal bodies for physical activity. So we can go on the assignment for God. This is somebody who traveled the length and breadth of the then world. At a point in time, they said, this Paul, he has preached all over the world. And he has turned and he's causing confusion all over the world. They beat him and they think that he's dead. And then they surround him and then boom, the man rises up. And say, let's go to the next town. He didn't say that mission abolished. I'm doing you a favor. I'm going around preaching and you allow people to beat me and beat me and beat me and stone me. I won't preach again. Not Paul. He rose up. They said they took him for dead. The people that be dragged him. And when the disciples surrounding him, I'm sure they were saying, pitying him. Oh, this Paul. Then he rose up and said, let's look on our itinerary. Okay, next time, here we come. So the Holy Spirit is so indispensable to our life's assignment. And the Holy Spirit in your life is what identifies us as the chosen of the Lord. Look at that. He said, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandment to the apostles whom he had chosen. Another very, very important thing. You see, there is a vision and a mission underlying our calling to Jesus Christ. Take note of that. There is a vision and a mission underlying our... God did not just call us. And just like the disciples, we are chosen of the Lord. Handpicked. Look, the scholars, Bible scholars tells us that when Jesus came, the reason why, when you see this word chosen, it means that handpicked. In Jesus' day, what was in vogue was that for Jewish male bones whom you want to, if you like, take to school, to one of the rabbinic schools, it is dependent on the parent, just like all of us. Once upon a time, if you are going to secondary school, it's your parent who decide, I want you to go to Achimota. That's it. Or you go to Prempeh. So that was it. If you were saying, I want you to go and study under Gamaliel. So you go and see Gamaliel and then negotiate and then... But when Jesus came and he was speaking to his disciples, that was not it. We saw he went unto the mountains and prayed. And then when he came back, he said, you, follow me, you. That's what he means, chosen. So some were ignored. Some of the people who wanted to be in that inner circle of 12 apostles that he took special time to educate and tutor, mentor and coach for the assignment, they didn't come. He chose them. Including Judas Iscariot. So when the Bible talks about chosen, it is a wonderful privilege. Well, in our communities where we grew up and our mates that we grew up with in school or what, we know it's not everybody who is born again. It's a wonderful privilege. So sometimes they ask, how do you do it? How are you able to live this mysterious godly lifestyle? And you say that word, grace. True grace. It handpicks. God says that, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. So it's a privilege. And that's what the apostle Luke is trying to highlight here. The apostles, the ones that he had chosen, handpicked. Hallelujah. Amen. The lesson here is that it is a privilege on our part and that of immense trust on God's part. More or less, when God chooses, he's more like saying, if he says that you come, you no, you yes. It means that God trusts us. I've told you about the vision and the mission. Teach, do and teach. Do and teach and do and teach. Validate it. Make sure you identify that the Apostle Paul will tell Timothy, faithful people. And then you do and teach and model them. They grasp the truth. God, leave that one to God. We will do the one that we need to do. The supernatural appearances, the proofs, the miracles, the wonders that will allow these people, you know, for us to stand firm. Leave that to God. The encounters that is needed, that the miraculous aspect, we leave that to God. But the ones that we need to do, the natural ones, like being regular in church, by coming to pray, by bringing talent and treasures that the others can see, the Bible has said it, so we are doing it, we'll have to do it. That's all that he requires of us. Just be trustworthy. Identify the people, train them, do it, and teach them, do it, and teach them. If they find out that it's doable, they'll do it. Amen. Over the years, when we say we are fasting, a lot of us do, they subscribe. Why? Because the pastors are all fasting. Who say you do go and fast, and then no, we do everything together. We don't do pray for me. Come and let's pray. Come and let's fast. Hallelujah. So that's the two lessons there. A privilege for us, and then also a demonstration of immense trust from God. It is as if to say, you can't fail me. I am counting on you. Hallelujah. Amen. So that you ultimately get it to understand that this whole prayerful lifestyle that we are seeing, it is all fixed within the vision and the mission. You are praying for what? It has to do with the assignment. So you realize that when you don't bring your time, your talents and treasures, you can't pray. The Holy Spirit, the energizing, the endowment with power from on high, the anointing of the Holy Ghost, the going to God in prayer, where when you go, you don't know what to say, what to say. And then when you get there through signs and praying and then groanings, you find yourself that you are praying. Because you are not doing, you not experience it. When it is a 21-day fast, and then we say that we're going to have a prayer convocation, and then we'll come and pray from morning maybe till evening or what, and then immediately you hear it, you are frightened. Come, you were praying, and you were praying proper. Yes, we are praying. Why? Because we are trustworthy. So the Holy Spirit will give you the signs and the groanings and the prayer language and the words to say all through the prayer times. All through the prayer times, we are going up and now we are praying. And it validates for us that indeed it is a function of the Holy Ghost. So the more you are neglecting these teachings and don't doing it by your own, you can't teach it if you are not doing it. Then you become weaker and weaker. So when we call for the prayer time, you won't come. 1 hour prayer, you are afraid. We should pray how long? The challenges that we are going through in the world, it's not 5 minute prayer antidotes. You see why every time you are falling, you rise and fall. Men must pray and not give up. Men must pray and not give up. You are not praying. You are not praying. You are not praying because you are not reading your word. You are not able to read your word because you are not prepared to imitate Jesus. You don't want to be like Jesus. You don't even want to be associated with him. That's why you are weak. And two, we are weak. A lot of us are weak. We are simply weak. We are too weak. Pray! So the point I'm making here is that the prayer thing that we are talking about, it is fixated. It's a part of the vision and the mission that God has for us. So Jesus, that's what exactly what Peter said. How God, he was a man with a vision and a mission. So God anointed him with the necessary resource, the Holy Spirit, and with power. And he went about in the resource of the Holy Ghost and the anointing or the equipment of the Holy Ghost. He went about the assignment doing good, bringing healing to the sick and then the oppressed from mental afflictions and all kinds of things, bringing deliverance because God was with him. Amen. So the whole prayerful lifestyle is so we can fulfill the vision and the mission. And remember, listen to Matthew, the way Matthew put it. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. Listen. He said, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." All authority. So when we come and we stand in the name of Jesus, we are exercising that authority. Go in the name of Jesus. You see, when we stand and we come and stand here and we talk about these things, so now, as I said, we do it so we can teach it. How did all those sleep paralysis and all those things, they didn't go on day one. They didn't go on day one, but you heard it will go. So you not say that, oh, I prayed first day and then after I prayed that night, I went through another nightmare. So prayer doesn't work. Jesus in you. No, we didn't pray one night. I hope you are getting it. Day one, nothing happened. Day two, we were there on the prayer ground. You said it, you will do it. Pray. Men must pray and not give up. So you read it, you say, oh, okay. He said, Papa, I'm here, I don't give up. Oh. Thy word is truth. So one day, I like that song, Odru Yefo, eh? Jesus, you Odru Yefo. But you're Odru. And so it's like, it's a distant past. You can't remember it. And you, the thing about God is that I can't remember how it was like. All I know it was frightening. But the pain, the perplexity, the trauma that you went through, God would obliterate it. Now we look at it and smile. At that time, it was perplexing. But what can you do? You, like I said, have you seen demons before? I've not seen some before, but I can feel them. But somebody was recommended. That person is King Jesus. Pray in the name of Jesus. And you have sound sleep, so I'll pray. But in any case, what have I got to lose? So I'll pray. And you pray and something happens. And not day one, not day two, not day three, not day four, not day five. But by the end of day six, they will go. So on day seven, you can have rest. Amen. You can have a Sabbath rest on day seven. If it doesn't go on day one, day two, we'll come again. Day three, we are there. Day four, day five. Day six! As the Bible says, when God finished his all creative ability or creative, if you like, agenda. And then God said, it is good. Amen. So he said, go therefore. We are talking about the authority given to me in heaven on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, are you reading it? And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I am with you always. This is how Matthew ended it. Listen to Luke as he also wraps up. Luke 24, 47 to 49. About the vision and the mission. The vision and the mission statement. Luke says, Luke 24, 47. Yes, to 49. Luke says, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. This was Jesus, how Jesus ended. and you are witnesses of these things. Now listen to 49. Then he promises in the next verse what he intends to do. This is the vision, and this is the mission. The vision is that all men in all nations will hear that there is repentance and remission of sins for all. Anyone, any Tom, Dick, and Harry who wants their sins cleansed, who wants peace with God, they are invited to the party free of charge because Jesus has died and he has pacified the wrath and the anger of God. And he says, you are witnesses of these things. Then in the next verse, verse 49, now listen, he promises in that verse what he intends to equip them sufficiently enough for the assignment. He says, go, you are my witness. Now look at that. In verse 49, he said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. And he's talking here about the Holy Spirit. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. You must go out there and make this offer of pardon known to all humankind. How are we going? He said, hold on. So if you are not prepared to undertake the vision and the mission statement, even though he has chosen you and he says that, I trust you. I'm looking for people I can trust. I have identified you. I like you. I love you. I want you to help me. That's why I say it's a privilege. I'm sending you, but I'll not let you go alone. I have a certain promise because it's dangerous terrain. Satan and his cohorts are there. You saw my life. So you saw it. You saw the way they treated him. You saw the opposition from natural and things and all that. Natural elements and from men, especially wicked men. The religious establishment. How they opposed him. How was he able to withstand? The Holy Ghost. So he said that, wait. I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. You will be resourced. You will be equipped. So that you can undertake the assignment. So the take-home message for all of us is the fact that our prayer lives individually and in fellowship should never be delinked from the vision, the mission, and purpose of God for our lives. Let me end on this, but let me take it again. Our take-home message is the fact that when we are talking about building our prayer lives, fellowship with prayer, we are saying that at the end of the month, and then not just at this month, but continually, we all want to be prayer warriors. The take-home is the fact that our prayer lives, whether individually or collectively as a church or fellowship, it should never be delinked from the vision, the mission, and purpose of God for our lives. If you delink it, you won't be able to pray. So ultimately, you find out that the people who have brought their three T's and they have time or they make time for God, they bring their talent, they bring their treasures. When you call for the prayer meetings, they'll be there. They just come. They just feel like coming. And so you now, you say, you won't come. You say, you don't. Look, I'm saying this. When we don't see you, when you don't see you bringing your time, talents, and treasures along, them, you can't pray. You don't know how to pray. You struggle. You will struggle in your prayer. You will struggle. It's a scripture. So they say, pray. You will come. You will go. Yeah. You stammer. You will. Because the Holy Spirit will not activate or actuate you. And then he said, go, oh God, I anoint me so that when the next time that Pastor Jeff says that we will pray for the next 3 hours, I'll also be able to come along and say, his God will say, for what? Anoint you for what? Because when I send you, you won't go. I've chosen you, you won't go. Because you have delinked your prayer enterprise from the vision and the mission.
This broadcast was proudly sponsored by the friends and partners of Harvest Chapel International Kumasi. Thank you for listening to Local Shema Hour with Reverend Dr. Joseph Balbi. We believe that as you act on this word, God's power will transform your life.